New Year. Welcome to our first Sunday service of 2018. May our new year be a happy and blessed one. When we're done visiting, we can start the service. Anyway, please turn off your cell phones and prepare for worship by listening to Lonnie's prelude. Thank you, Lonnie. What a wonderful way to begin the service. Again, good morning.
Morning.
Okay, please sign our attendance or friendship sheets and pass them along the aisle to the people next to you. If you see someone new, please greet them warmly. And we have a few announcements in the bulletin. There's quite a few, actually. The elders did not meet last week. They'll be meeting tomorrow night because we did not meet on New Year's Day. Meeting starts at 6:30, so all new elders, please attend. So there'll be a training session on procedures and how to preside over a service. There'll be a diaconate meeting next week, again for training. It'll be after the service on the 14th, so please attend that for the new diaconate members. The Spiritual Growth Commission could use as much help as they could for undecorating the church. Do we still have a few items left? Looks like a lot of our... Okay, undecorate the tree. And also on that note, there's several poinsettias left, and if those who have purchased poinsettias would like to pick them up, because they will be disposed of after this week. The scholarship deadline is tomorrow at noon, so those students looking for financial aid for classes, please make sure you get those applications in. And let's see, Lonnie has an announcement.
Good morning,
everybody.
If you've read your bulletin, next Sunday at 9 o'clock, all of the women in the church are invited to the boardroom, and we will begin a 10-week video Bible study called Being Mary in a Martha World. I think all of you women know what that means. This video Bible study, along with thousands more, is a gift to all of us from your church, First Christian Church, because our church has an account with Right Now Media, thereby allowing any church member free access to what they've called the Netflix of Bible studies. Their software application can be downloaded on any device, such as a television, a tablet, a phone, or a computer. I have downloaded this particular Bible study to my iPad. And if I can do it, you can too. So there is no need, for example, to fret about missing a session, because if you do and you have it downloaded somewhere on one of your tech things, then you can watch it in bed or whatever. The longest video in the study is 22 minutes. The rest of the class time, we will learn how all of us, Marys and Marthas alike, can draw closer to Jesus, deepen our devotion, and strengthen our service, both with less stress and greater joy. I won't have any treats, but I will have handouts and would appreciate knowing if you plan to attend. But all are welcome to come regardless. The printer's right next door to the boardroom, so don't worry about that. My cell phone number is in the bulletin today, and my email address is in the directory. Please feel free to call me if you plan on attending or if you have any questions. I hope to see many of you there. Thank you.
Thank you, Lonnie. Do we have any other announcements? Okay, there will be children's church today. Tom had an announcement as well.
You know what it's about.
Well, me and Bill C, we've been bowling for like 5 years together. We got the Master Doubles next week. We took fourth place last year. We'll hopefully do it first. Then January 31st, Dave won our five-man team. We got a city tournament. Then after that, I got a Masters down in Cheyenne in February. Then I go from there. Lakewood, Denver, both in the PBA with a younger group. Then from there, I'll fly out to California to see my grandson.
Okay. Do we have any other announcements? Okay, our opening carol, we're doing something a little different this morning. The congregation will be singing verses 1 and 5, and the choir and soloists will be taking the middle verses, and we might even have some special guests. So please stand and greet one another, and then we'll follow that with our opening carol, We Three Kings, on your page 172 in your hymnal.
Thank you.
Please join me in the call to worship. Like magi following the star, may we follow the light of God throughout this new year. Glory of God, fill this sanctuary and expose the darkness that stalks our souls. Glory of God, fill each soul as a temple of the Holy Spirit present today.
Light of God, glory of God, we welcome you in this place.
Please pray with me. Journeying God, we stand this day with all those who search for the child who is to bring about a kingdom of justice and truth and love to all people. Like the wise men, we hear the voices of confusion, of evil, of those who would extinguish the light. Let us hear your voice in the midst of the conflicting voices we hear, that we might find and follow the child we long for. Hear us now as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Please turn in your hymnals to number 174 as we sing Brightest and Best.
Thank you.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing. Good morning. It's so nice to see all of you. None of you were here last Sunday. I'm so glad everybody is back. It's great to have you all here. Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah? Did anybody get a present that they really liked?
Yeah.
Yeah? What was your favorite present?
Frozen.
Something from Frozen, like the Frozen princesses. I bet you loved that. Mom and Dad were so smart to know you wanted that. Were there other cool gifts that people got? Max, what did you get that you really liked?
An Xbox.
Wow. Some awesome things happening. Yeah, Peg, an Xbox is a video game, not an icebox, like an old fridge. Her ears aren't very good. Really old refrigerators were called an icebox because it was just a box you put ice in before we had electricity to make things cold. That's not what you got for Christmas, right? No, Xbox. Okay, just checking. Well, one of the reasons that we share gifts at Christmas time is because Jesus was God's gift to the world. And there were some special visitors who came and brought presents to baby Jesus, and we just sang about them. Do you remember what gifts the Magi, the three kings, brought? Gold. Perfume, a special kind of perfume. Anybody know what it was called? What a great answer. If you all can't hear Max, he said, and something, if you were dying, it could help you. And that is called myrrh. Very good, Max. And the perfume was a special kind of perfume called incense. It was frankincense. Excellent. You must have been studying the story in Matthew 2. Well, the wise men found baby Jesus because they were following a star. And we have had some stars hanging downstairs in Fellowship Hall. And I thought since it was Epiphany and we're talking about the wise men following the star, I thought maybe each of you would like to have your own star. Would you like a star?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you each and everyone can have a star to take home. And I know that I'm going to have an email from our custodian saying there's glitter all over the church. Because I am sprinkling stardust everywhere I go today. Our stars are kind of dripping a little bit.
When they followed the star because they knew there was going to be a new king.
That's absolutely right. They followed the star because they knew there was going to be a new king. And that new king was baby Jesus. And the star still shines brightly. Maybe not that exact same star in the sky, but God's light went from the star into baby Jesus and then into each of us, and God's light shines in us. So each one of you is like a star because you can point the way to Jesus for other people. So every place you go, whether you have glitter on you or not, you're sprinkling stardust. You're sprinkling God's light and sharing it with the world. So this week, when you take your star home to share with Mom and Dad, make sure that they know the story of Epiphany. Make sure that you can tell them about the wise men who followed the star and took the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh to baby Jesus. And that's why we have gifts at Christmas time. How about we have a prayer together? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being God's light and for bringing God's light to us. Help each one of us to be like a star to guide others to find you. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. And you can go sit with Mom and Dad or follow Trisha to worship and wonder today. I really think there's something theological about stardust. I haven't figured it out. On the back of your bulletin, you'll find a list of prayer concerns of the congregation. And as we share these, I encourage you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you. Write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today. And then place that card in the offering tray so they will receive it later in the week. I have a Christmas card to share with the congregation. It comes from recipients of the Sandwich Ministry. And they've written a note with it. Thank you all for what you do to provide for everyone that comes. Y'all have helped me more than you know. Simple thank you. Keith A. Giner, Wesley A. Giner, and Brandon signed his own name too. So we are thankful for that family and the ways in which they have been touched by the Sandwich Ministry. On Friday, Debbie and I met here and sorted through a massive pile of clothing. Back in December, when we had the blanket blitz, we had some friends bring a lot of warm clothes to the church. They heard that we were taking care of people who were cold. And so Debbie has selected the jackets that she thinks people who come to the Sandwich Ministry may be able to receive. And then we took all the rest of the clothing to Rescued Treasures, which is run by the Wyoming Mission, the Wyoming Rescue Mission. And it's just one way in which this church's giving goes on and on and on. And it was amazing to me to go downstairs with Debbie and open the door to the pantry and see what is still left of the 100-plus blankets that were made, some of which have already been given out and some of which are stored until we hear of people who need them. And the Sandwich Ministry continues, so thank you to all of you who faithfully help every Saturday to feed the hungry. Our card shower this morning is for Diane Good, who lives in Cheyenne. She is Bernice Riley's daughter. Bernice passed away on January 3rd. There will be a memorial service held here in our sanctuary later in the spring. The missionary we're praying for today is Andrew Sheraton Cooper, who serves in Lesotho. We've received a request for prayers of comfort for Mina. She usually comes to our early service. She was just feeling under the weather today, and she's a little bit down after the holidays. The kids came for Christmas, and now she's feeling alone. Prayers for others who may have the post-Christmas blues or maybe a little bit under the weather. Nina Heatrick has asked us to pray for Preston, her grandson, who plays with the Wyoming Cutthroats. The team is headed to Canada. She's asked for prayers for safe travel and that they can play their best. Prayers for Darlene McIrvin. Darlene has been diagnosed with a low-grade lymphoma. She will be having an appointment with an oncology center to explore treatment options. She is feeling well and in good spirits. She still has a little bit of fluid on her lungs, so she is not getting out, but she appreciates your prayers and your thoughts. So please continue to pray for Stan and Darlene. Tom shared with us this morning that next weekend he'll be bowling in a Masters doubles tournament, and then he has several trips coming up with PBA. We hope that that all goes well and you're able to bowl at your best and you have safe travels as well. Our prayer partners this week are the members of First Christian Church in Idaho Falls. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you're encouraged to sign and send greetings. Pastor Don Marie Turner asks for prayers for health for their congregation. She says prayers for a healthy church in all facets, for their spirituality, and for them to have the knowledge in their hearts and minds that they can be more than a small church. Are there others today that we want to pray for or joys we want to share? Tom. Prayers for Tom's sister, who is Beverly, who is partially blind, completely blind, following eye surgery. Billy. Prayers for little Zedekiah, who has been in the hospital since he was born a month ago. Prayers for health and strength as he continues to grow that he'll be released soon. And Billy, it is great to see you back in worship. We've been praying for you, and Keith is with us this morning. We continue to pray for recovery. Are there others today? Debbie. Prayers for Sonia Taylor, who's had cancer for 10 years and is in the hospital with an infection. Charles.
A joy to share. Cindy and I are going to be hosting Friedrich Kaler. I don't know if you remember, he was the exchange student for the BUDAX. He and his girlfriend came to the States to Ashley BUDAX's wedding, which was yesterday, and the two of them are going to be spending this week with us before they leave to go back to Germany on Saturday. So we're very excited that we get to see them. I'm sorry they aren't going to be here over a Sunday. But.
Prayers of congratulations to Ashley on her wedding yesterday and to her parents, and prayers of safe travels for Friedrich and Laura while they're in the States and then head back to Germany. It is a joy to see all of you in church this morning. Some of you have been traveling over the holidays, and we're glad you've made it back home. Some of you have been fighting various bugs and illnesses, and we're glad you're healthy enough to be here today. Let us turn to the Lord in a time of shared silence as we pray together. Great God of light and love, we pray for you to still shine in the darkness of our world. Lord, send your light to illumine the corners of our own hidden hearts, those places where our sins hide, where our fear and failings creep out like dark shadows, tempting us to turn away from you. Oh God, cast out our darkness and let your light shine brightly within us. Lord, we pray for your light to shine in our world. We pray for the light of your peace to shine between nations. We pray for the people of Iran, North Korea, and other corners of the globe that know turmoil. Lord, we pray for the light of hope and recovery to be with those who are battling storms and recovering from damage. We pray for your light, O God, to shine even in the midst of depression or loneliness, of mental illness or addiction, of fear or despair. O God, your light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. We pray for the healing of your light to be with all those that we have named. We pray for Mina, for Darlene and others seeking cancer treatment, for Sonia as she fights an infection, for little Zedekiah that he might be strong enough to leave the hospital and go home. We pray for Tom's sister living in blindness, and we give thanks for her family caring for her. Lord, we pray for your light to provide safe travels for Preston and others on the Wyoming cutthroats, for those who are traveling home or away for work or for pleasure. Be with Friedrich and Laura as they drive from Montana to Casper. Oh God, the light of your love is shining brightly for the BUDAX family as they rejoice in Ashley's marriage. Bless her relationship to be strong and long, healthy and whole. Lord, we pray for Andrew Sheridan Cooper, who serves as a missionary in Lesotho, for Don Marie Turner and all the members of First Christian Church in Idaho Falls. Gracious God, for all of those whom we have named aloud today, and for others that we hold in our hearts, we pray that your light might shine. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we will hear the story of the Magi and their travels as told in the second chapter of Matthew. There are a lot of details of that story that are surely different than travels we would take today, but they're details that are left untold in Scripture. Did the kings really ride camels? It makes sense, but we don't know. What kind of provisions were in the saddlebags of those humped beasts? Did they drink camel's milk along the way, dried goat jerky, rice cakes, or coconut flakes? No doubt their traveling food was quite different than a sack lunch you and I might fix in 2018. No matter, for the journey they needed food as they journeyed far from home. In the journeys of our lives, not only do our bodies need food, but our spirits need to be fed. One way that we as members of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ find spiritual food is at the Lord's table. During the month of January, as we celebrate the season of Epiphany, we will share communion by intinction. You're invited to come forward by the center aisle, take a piece of bread and dip it in the cup and partake. Bring your tithes, offerings, and prayer cards with you and place them in the offering trays at the front pew, and then return by the outside aisle. If you find it more meaningful or physically easier to have communion in your pew, simply remain seated, and someone will serve you where you are. We'll prepare for communion together by singing As With Gladness, number 173. It speaks to us of the gifts we bring to God. As we come to the table, we reflect on the distance between Bethlehem and Jerusalem, how far a journey it was for Jesus to go from child in the manger to king on the cross. It was in Jerusalem where he met with his disciples at the table. And while they were there, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection. We glimpse again the light of God shining from Bethlehem to Jerusalem to Casper today. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Father, over 2,000 years ago, you sent your Son to be the light of our lives and our salvation in the afterlife. A great star was a guiding light to lead the three wise men to the manger and the cradle of Jesus Christ. From that time forward, Father, the life and the love of Jesus Christ has been our guiding light. Amen.
Please pray with me. So I get my cheaters back on. God of creation, grant us clear vision to see for a moment the wealth of your nation. Make of us generous givers whose faith is in that which is unseen and whose hope is for an eternal and extravagant future. Amen.
Your scripture reading for today is Isaiah 60, 1 through 6. You can find it on page 690 in your pew Bible. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nation shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah and all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord.
Our second reading today comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter. It's on page 2 of the New Testament of your pew Bible. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for that gift of music. And it is a blessing to have you accompanying again this spring. And Lonnie, thank you for your music today. Will you pray with me? Holy God, let your light still shine through the stories of Scripture, so that when we hear the greatest story ever told, our hearts are stirred, and your light shines through us. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Happy Epiphany. It's not a very common greeting. You hear Happy New Year and Merry Christmas. But as a pastor for 20-plus years, I've grown to the point where I actually really enjoy Epiphany. I think because it still has some of the drama of that Christmas miracle, but it's a little calmer in the telling. You see, at this point, we're after what for clergy can be thought of as the Super Bowl. Christmas Eve, when all the extra guests show up. We're so happy to have them come, those folks you might call Christers that are here on Christmas and Easter, who bring the gift of their presence, and we're excited. But like the wise men, they've left their presence and gone on home, and now it's just us family. Epiphany comes after that theological Super Bowl of Christmas Eve and before what for clergy sometimes feels like the World Series when you hit Lent running and have weeks of extra work to do leading up to Easter. So it's a calmer in-between time, but we still bask in the glow of Christmas with stray poinsettias waiting to be taken home and glitter from cardboard stars sprinkling the sanctuary. The story of Epiphany is one that can be told in many different ways. We could, for example, sing the song, The 12 Days of Christmas. You know, on the 12th day of Christmas, my true love brought to me 12 drummers drumming, 11 pipers piping, 10 lords a-leaping, 9 ladies dancing, 8 maids a-milking, 7 swans a-swimming, 6 geeks a-laying. Everybody, 5 golden rings. 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge, a pear tree. But of course we wouldn't want to actually sing the whole song, because when you start at the beginning and do every verse and add all those gifts, you're exhausted when you get to the end. Kind of like how you feel after Christmas Day is wrapped up and done. The song, The 12 Days of Christmas, was written in a period of time somewhere between the 15th and 18th centuries when the Catholic Church had to go underground for a little while. It was after the Protestant Reformation, and Protestantism was sweeping parts of Europe, and in some places, Catholicism had been outlawed. And so those who wanted to teach the Catholic catechism, the lessons of the faith, had to find subtle coded ways to do so. And so the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, was invented to teach the faith. It speaks of the gifts we receive from our true love, God the Father. The greatest gift, of course, is the one you sing over and over most often, the partridge in the pear tree, representing little Jesus, innocent as a dove who gave his life on a tree for us. The 4 calling birds are the 4 gospels. The 3 French hens represent the 3 attributes of faith, hope, and love. And we remember the greatest of these is love. Each of those gifts described in that song indicates a teaching of faith. And it talks about the span of time from Christmas on December 25th, counting 12 days later to January 6th, when traditionally the church has observed Epiphany. Perhaps more than any other special occasion in the church, Epiphany has all these interesting details to it. So many, in fact, it's easy to get distracted. For starters, we can wonder about the date of January 6th. It doesn't actually mean that Jesus was born on December 25th and 12 days later the Magi showed up. No, in fact, it may have taken them as much as 2 years to find that holy child. For that matter, we don't actually know Jesus' birthday on the calendar. In fact, we don't even know what year he was born in. Think about it. Jesus is the reason we went from B.C. to A.D., and that change happened after his life. And so there's a little bit of confusion about when we count the years. Was Jesus actually born at midnight on zero? No, we don't know. It could have been a couple years before, or maybe even a year or two after that calendar change. So we can get worried about the date, and then we can get focused on the star. How was it that that star shone so brightly, so dramatically, that Matthew described it as guiding people from other countries to find Jesus in Bethlehem? Well, modern-day astronomers have looked at star charts and figured out the orbit of the planets years ago, and around that time, there were several celestial events that could describe that bright light in the sky. In the year 7 BC, in the year 5 BC, in the year 3 BC, there were multiple convergences of planets, which caused a light to shine more brightly in the night sky than you would almost ever see. There was also more than one comet that appeared around that time. Perhaps that explains the miracle of the star in the sky. It's hard for us with modern, curious, sometimes skeptical or scientific minds to not get distracted by these details that, well, we want to know. But when you read scripture, it's often informative to think not just about the details that are there, but to let go of the details that aren't. If Matthew didn't tell us the exact date or what the star was made of, it probably isn't the real point of the story. So we draw our hearts and minds back to focus on it as Matthew tells it. But at Epiphany, my goodness, it's so easy to get distracted by those fun details. We sing, for goodness sake, about we three kings. Surely they brought three gifts. There were three wise men, right? Matthew doesn't say. We have no idea. From the Greek word magoi, we know it was plural. There was more than one. So some folks showed up. We don't know if there were three of them or not. There may have been a whole retinue carrying that treasure chest. We don't know if they were tall and skinny or little tiny like Blake. We know that they were people who paid attention to the world around them. Like astronomers or astrologers, they watched the night sky looking for signs that would indicate events to take place in the world around them. And that star, whatever it was, convergence of planets or comet, that celestial light was so bright, it caught their attention. And they knew it signaled the birth of a new king. So they began to search through all the literature available at the time, all the libraries gathered together, trying to understand what this miracle could mean. And those magi from the East discovered that there was an ancient prophecy among the Hebrew people saying that a Savior would be born for all the world. If you received a baby announcement of a Savior, I think you might want to show up. And so they did. They traveled. They journeyed, those three or four or five, however many there were, marching across the desert sands in their caravan with camels, we presume, but Matthew doesn't say. We know that they came bringing gifts suited for a king. So if we can at least let go of the detail of whether or not there were three kings, and tradition even makes up names for them, Caspar, Melchior, and, oh, Balthazar. If we stop worrying about the kings and we stop worrying about the star, then we get focused on those gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Even little Max this morning had a lesson to teach us about the nature of those gifts. There's theological import that's been imbued to those presents through the ages that speak of the nature of Jesus himself, his divinity and humanity rolled up into one, gold fit for a king, incense that would be offered to a priest as a sacrifice in a temple, and myrrh that foreshadows the death of Jesus. Myrrh used to care for those who are dead and dying. Theologically, we wrap our minds around the importance of those gifts, but when we read Matthew, he just says what they are, not why they were given. So perhaps there's an even simpler explanation. They were the kinds of gifts you would give to newborn royalty. And believe it or not, they were practical. Now, to us, we might think if you had a newborn baby, it would be handy to get some diapers and wipes, maybe some formula, a little tote to carry stuff around in. What's this frankincense and myrrh stuff? Well, obviously, Jesus was born in very different times than our own. In a practical sense, that gold would come in awfully handy after the wise men's visit. When they had returned home by a different road, and Herod started hunting for baby Jesus, and Mary and Joseph had to flee as refugees to Egypt, sneaking away under the cover of night, using that gold perhaps even to bribe a smuggler for safe passage, finding a place to stay, seeking shelter far away from relatives in their native land. The gold was indeed a very practical and useful gift. But so too the frankincense and the myrrh. In biblical times, those were considered to have medicinal properties, to offer healing, in fact. Think for just a moment again about the conditions of Jesus' birth. Mary delivered her firstborn son. She was an inexperienced first-time mom. She hadn't been through childbirth before, and she was not in a new, nice, modern, safe hospital. In fact, she wasn't even in a clean house. She was in a borrowed stable. Her baby's bed was a feed trough where cattle ate. The rate of infection among newborns in Palestine in the year 0 or 7 BC or 2 AD must have been horrific. Thank goodness for the myrrh and the frankincense. For a little bit of medicine brought from a foreign land, given as a gift to a young woman to save her life and her child. Perhaps the second miracle of Christmas after the miraculous birth of Jesus, God's Son, coming to our world, perhaps the second miracle of Christmas was that Mary survived childbirth in those conditions and lived to see her son, a grown man, the Savior of the world. You see, my friends, how easy it is to get distracted by the gifts and the king and the star, and we still haven't even focused on the true point of Epiphany, the heart of the story. The word Epiphany itself means revealing, revelation, discovery. An epiphany moment is an aha, eureka insight. Epiphany is the revelation, the discovery of God's light in Jesus, of God with us in human form as Emmanuel. We get so excited by the starlight, so distracted by gifts from afar, so busy singing about three kings that we forget the miracle of Epiphany is God's light in Jesus Christ. I'd like to share a story I heard this week told by Richard Rohr. He's a Catholic priest in New Mexico and a meditation retreat leader. In one of his daily blogs this week, he talked about being on retreat at the home of Thomas Merton, Gethsemane Abbey in Kentucky. It happened years ago, and he says while he was there, he was walking down an outdoor path. At Gethsemane, they have several remote hermitages, a place where a spiritual hermit, a person, can live in absolute solitude, with no contact with other people for extended periods of time, living in silence, studying scripture and praying, devoting their entire life to the presence of God. Richard was walking on an outdoor path, and he saw coming towards him a recluse, a hermit's hermit, someone who was practicing what is called the grand silence, going years without speaking, so focused in depth in the presence of God that the habit and ritual is to not even have eye contact with another person, lest that distracts you from prayer. So Richard was walking at Gethsemane, and this recluse comes towards him. Out of respect, Father Rohr stepped off to the side of the path and bowed his head. He said, "I was so shocked." The man came towards me and said, "Richard." I looked up. How did he know my name? And this one who was supposed to be silent, why is he speaking? Richard was stunned and stood in silence. The man came towards him and said again, "Richard, you get to preach often and I don't. Tell the people," he said, pointing to the sky, "tell the people God is not out there." And then he looked at Richard directly in his eyes and said, "God bless you," and went on his way. If you lived in silence for years and could only say one thing, what would it be? Would you choose to tell someone about God? And how would you capture that message? It's a good reminder at Epiphany, when we're distracted by the gifts and the names of unknown kings and the stars' light on a brilliant night. It's good to be reminded that God isn't out there. In Jesus, God is so close. So close. This Epiphany season, may the light of God shine on you, shine in you, shine through you. Amen. Our hymn of dedication today is number 469. I am the light of the world. The song was inspired by a Christmas poem by Howard Thurman and set to music. It speaks to us not just of the Christmas story, but what it means to follow the light of God all year long and every day. If you are looking for help on your journey to follow God's light, we welcome you here at First Christian. Anyone looking for a church home is welcome to join us by confession of faith and baptism or transfer of membership. You're encouraged to open your heart to the presence of God and ask Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Let us stand and sing together. I am the light of the world.
Thank you.
I remind you there are poinsettias to take home if you donated one. There is coffee downstairs and lots of donuts, a time for fellowship today to visit one another. Elders meet tomorrow night. All elders who are currently serving in 2018 are asked to attend. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O God, in Christ, you sent the light of the world. That light shines in, through, within us. May we follow the mystery of who you call us to be, to go where you want us to go, and do what you want us to do. May we follow your holy light, sharing it with all the world. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
It satisfies.